Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Now, last week I ended talking about having Christ formed in us, being conformed into His image and Christian character. You know, sadly, not too many Christians are really concerned with godly character. But what we're really talking about, though, is the fruit or character of the life of Christ being worked out through the humanity, or humanity manifesting Christ, bearing His fruit, that fruit, not out from our natural man. You know, in our lives, either we bear fruit of godliness or we bear fruit of the natural man. There is no middle ground here. Either we have been separated for the master's use or we are followers of the world system. And just look at your checkbook, my friend, and you will find which camp that you reside in. But we are not, repeat, not the source of anything of God and can do nothing unless empowered by God. Christ is our source. Let me say that again. Christ is our source. Rather, the fruit is out from Christ as the source as we become. Now, that's a process of God's dealing and judgments in our life by faith. For example, have we recognized that sanctification is Jesus Christ seen in and through His people? Have we recognized that the fruit of the Spirit is likewise Jesus Christ seen in and through His people? The two, my friend, are the same. Now open up your spirit here. Do we think there is the fruit of the vine, you know, John 15:5, Jesus Christ, but then other fruit of the Spirit? No, that is silly. Jesus Christ dwells in believers by the means of the Spirit of God. The fruit is Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to say that again. The fruit is Jesus Christ. Regarding Jesus Christ as our sanctification, Paul stated this directly. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." Now listen, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, "He that glories, let him glory in the Lord." It should be no surprise that sanctification is Jesus Christ manifested in His children. For again, He is the life. Jesus is the life. But many have been taught that sanctification is limited to holy living, or that sanctification happens when God acts upon us to make us to look like Jesus. Oh no, my friend. Sanctification is Jesus Christ seen in believers as if Christ is in the holy living has to emerge. Let me say that again. Sanctification is Jesus Christ seen in believers. And if Christ is in the holy living, then in the believer, then the holy living has to emerge. We see this truth reflected all throughout the Bible. For example, take the term Holy Spirit. That term means the Spirit that sets aside for God, or being said, the Spirit through which one belongs to God. So, how does the Spirit make a person belong to God? Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:17, "He that is joined," or cemented in the Greek, "to the Lord Jesus is one with Him. Thus we belong to God because Christ is in us by the means of the Holy Spirit. And since He is in us and we are in Him, He has given us all things." Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 tells us, "According to His divine power hath given," notice, "given us unto all things," which includes the Holy Spirit, my friend, "that pertains unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." Did you get that, my friend? Once Christ lives in and we are in Him, He, Jesus, gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Not some things or a few things, but all things. No need for a second blessing here, my friend, as some other denominational, you know, churches teach. This is why the most often used term in the New Testament for a believer is saint. the term saint or sanctification or sanctified and holy one are of the same root word. So a saint is a sanctified person who belongs to God. Let me say that again. A saint is a sanctified person who belongs to God. So when we speak of sanctification, we are not talking about us becoming like Jesus. Oh no. My heavens, no. Rather, we are talking about us being crucified out of the way so that Jesus Christ himself might be seen and live through us. And if he is seen, then that fruit unto God's glory. Wow. He is our sanctification. Jesus is our sanctification. You know, not only is Jesus our sanctification, but Jesus is our light. He is the light of men. In John 1 and 4, John says of Jesus, in him, that would be Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. Did you get that, my friend? In him is Christ, is light, is life, which is another way of saying not being in him is darkness. Not being in him is death. Do you see that, my friend? Or are you still caught up in all of their nominal religious church activities, the church life? Jesus says, I am the truth. He is also, you know, he also said, I am the life. In John 17, the real Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they, that would be us, would know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now gather this all up in its simple. Jesus Christ is the sum total. Now, and open up your spirit here of life. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is the sum total of life and light of that living person, Christ, who dwells within a believer. If we are indwelt with Christ, yeah, then we must be saved. If we are indwelt with Christ, then we must be saved. Then not only are we alive in him, but we have the capacity to know him. As Jesus prayed in John 17:3, life eternal carries knowing God and his Son. The two are experienced as we experience the person of Jesus Christ living in us. If we were to put this down in a formula, it would be something like this. Our death equals his life equals the light of his life. Thus, this brings us back to the necessity of the work of the cross in our life. You know, life eternal in John 17 and 3 has nothing to do with living everlasting. We all have everlasting life, either in heaven with the Lord and the saints, or in hell, then later on in the, you know, in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels. But Jesus was talking about coming into the life of God by coming to know God. Only when we come to know God can we ever hope to have everlasting life. Let me say that again. Only when we come to know God can we ever have everlasting life. Not in heaven or in the sweet by and by, oh no, but now on earth. This was the prayer of Jesus for us in the garden, that we would be one with the Father, God, as he is one with the Father. And for this to happen, my friend, we must die to our old fleshly nature. It is only as we surrender ourselves completely, abandon ourselves as the source of anything, and give ourselves to Christ so that death can take place under that personal work of the cross of Christ in our life. Wow. Boy, only then is it possible for the life that is in Christ can be made more fully experienced. Only when we die to ourselves can Christ be, you know, his life be fully lived out in us. It is only then that we grow to know him. The light is in the life. Let me say that again. The light of Christ is in his life. Wow. You cannot separate the two. Both are dimensions of Christ. Both are dimensions of Christ. More next week. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week. And this teaching is getting through, that you're really taking this to heart. You're opening up your spirit and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister this word to you. If not, then, my friend, you're probably not saved. go to church, do all those things, but you're probably not saved. Christ wants you to come into his life so that you can be saved. God bless. Have a great week. Amen.